Radio.com presents stories of mystery and intrigue, espionage and suspense. Hear tales of ticking time bombs, mysterious crime scenes, and cloak and dagger action. This is Relic Radio Thrillers. This week on Relic Radio Thrillers, we'll hear from the FBI in Peace and War, a long-running CBS series that ran from November 25, 1944 to September 28 of 1958. Our story today is Trigger Finger. This one aired November 10, 1954.
The FBI in Peace and War. The FBI in Peace and War is brought to you by refreshing, delicious Wrigley's Spearmint Chewing Gum. Enjoy chewing Wrigley's Spearmint Gum every day, as millions do. The lively, long-lasting flavor cools your mouth and freshens your taste. The pleasant chewing adds enjoyment to whatever you're doing. Another great story based on Frederick L. Collins' copyrighted book, The FBI in Peace and War. Drama, thrills, action. Tonight's story, Trigger Finger.
Okay, get going. Hey, what's the hurry?
Sorry, I guess I get excited.
Nothing to get excited about. They can pick up that stolen card. We're safe in this. We're just a couple of electricians. We're answering a call over in Oakdale.
Yeah, right? Yeah, I know. I get kind of worked up waiting, that's all.
Okay.
How'd you make out, Bert?
Pretty good, I think. Without counting, maybe 20, 25,000.
25,000. Just like that. And it took you half an hour.
Yeah. Look, Eddie, I got an idea that may be blocking the roads around here. Drive nice and relaxed when we get out on number 17, will you?
What am I doing?
48. That's not relaxed.
Yeah, okay.
Just a couple of electricians, Eddie. And you better let me do the talking.
Yeah, I will.
You know, it's too bad this truck didn't come with a radio. I'll bet I make the 11 o'clock news with a job like this.
On a July morning last year, a lone gunman wearing sunglasses and carrying a sawed-off shotgun held up the First National Bank in Wingville, Ohio. The description of this man and his method tallied closely with three other bank robberies in the previous 6 months. Our bureau had been called into the case, and we had been working on slender clues to the man's identity. We felt certain of only two things. He was a professional gunman, and he used a Confederate to help make his getaway.
And all he gives you is a lousy $2,500.
Oh, lay off, will you, May?
And you gotta provide the truck and take risks.
Will you shut up? You want the whole joint to hear you?
All I'm saying
Look, have another drink or something, huh?
No.
Well, then let's get out of here, then.
You take risks just like he does, don't you? You said yourself you could have got caught when they stopped you out on Route 17.
All right. What do you want?
He ought to give you $5,000.
May.
Well, believe me, if I was on that job, I would have...
For the love of Mike, shut up. Come on, we're getting out of here.
I haven't finished my drink.
Well, that's too bad. Come on. Here you are, Gus. Keep the change.
Eddie.
Save it.
Eddie.
What's the matter? You want to yell it all over the place?
Who was yelling? I was just saying you were entitled to a decent cut, that's all.
All right, you said it. Now shut up.
Eddie.
Now, you said it tonight. You said it last time I worked with him. You said it the time before that.
Eddie, why don't you do a job on your own?
Look.
You don't want to be a small-timer all your life, do you?
Hey, we've been over all this before.
What's he got that you haven't? All he's got is a pair of dark glasses and a shotgun. Eddie, I don't like small-timers.
What do you mean by that?
Just what I say. If you're going to play in the two-bit league, you can count me out.
Well, where are you going?
Back to my room. And when you decide you're going to grow up, phone me. But don't take too long, Eddie. I won't wait forever.
Agent Connolly, one of our experts on bank robbery, had been correlating descriptive information on the lone gunman. With the Wingville robbery, we added one telling bit of evidence. The robber wore a platform sole on his right shoe, indicating a shortened leg. One notorious gunman in our files was known to have a shortened leg due to an auto accident. His name was Bert Mindley.
See what I mean, don't you, Bert?
Yeah, I see.
I mean, after all, it's my truck. I take a lot of risks. It's just worth more dough, that's all.
How much more?
$5,000.
Double?
Yeah. May says I got a right to... I got a right to a bigger car.
Who's May?
Never mind.
She give you this idea?
Nobody give me the idea. I'm just entitled to more dough.
Uh-huh. You know, I was pretty stupid when I was your age, too.
Now, look.
First time I got sent up, I busted open a jewelry window because some doll wanted a gold wristwatch.
Look, Bert, you mind your business on my mind.
Okay, my business can't afford a high-class chauffeur like you. I'll get somebody else.
Now, wait a minute.
You're not worth $5,000, Eddie.
Well, all right, maybe five was a
now,
little
kid,
high, but I...
You go back to this maid, tell him it didn't work. Do you want a drink downstairs in the lobby before you go?
No.
Okay. Don't go off sore.
Maybe you think you don't need me, huh?
I can get plenty of young punks like you for $2,500.
Yeah?
I can get them a dime a dozen. Why do I need you?
Well, maybe you don't. Maybe I don't need you either.
Okay. That suits me.
Well, I don't.
I just said it suits me.
Maybe I work on my own. How would you like that, huh?
Eddie, it takes guts to stick up a bank.
Well, so what?
You're not the type. Take my advice. Forget it.
Well, what makes you think I can't do it?
I'll tell you what. I've watched you, Eddie. You're the nervous kind. You wouldn't be any good with a gun in your hand.
Yeah?
I'm telling you this for your own good. Don't try it.
Wouldn't like the competition, huh?
All right, put it that way.
What's so tough about going in a bank and sticking a gun in somebody's face?
Don't try it, Eddie. I can tell you just what'll happen.
Yeah, what?
You'll stick that gun in somebody's face, all right. And if that somebody moves one muscle or some doll screams or somebody doesn't do just what you tell them, you'll get trigger happy, you'll start shooting.
That's what you think.
That's what I know. I've seen plenty like you, Eddie. You'll end up on a slab in the morgue. Believe me, that little doll won't even be down for a look at the body.
Okay, we'll see about that.
You're not the type, Eddie. I guarantee it.
Back to Trigger Finger in just a moment. Friends, one reason it's a good idea to keep Wrigley's Spearmint chewing gum handy is that you can chew and enjoy this delicious treat right while you're doing other things. Wrigley's Spearmint Gum is swell to chew while you're working, for instance, and while you're driving your car or enjoying your favorite sports or hobbies. You don't have to take time out. You can chew Wrigley's Spearmint Gum even with both hands busy. The lively, long-lasting flavor is always refreshing, and the pleasant chewing makes whatever you're doing more enjoyable. Keep a package of Wrigley's Spearmint Gum handy in your purse or pocket. Enjoy it often, every day, as millions do. Two of Trigger Finger. When photographs of Bert Mindley were shown to employees at the Wingville Bank and to witnesses of other robberies, the identification was made positive. A general alarm was sent out for Mindley, but we had little hope of catching him that way. After a careful study of his criminal file, agents of our bureau began to frequent places where he had been known. Mindley's most conspicuous habit was gambling. And Agent Reynolds, after many weeks posing as a bookmaker under the name of Dave Rennie, put into effect one of our many plans to trap the gunman.
Okay, take a seat, Mr. Rennie. You caught me at kind of a busy time.
I know, I won't take long. Just wanted to ask you if you could put me in touch with Bert Mindley.
Bert Mindley?
Yeah.
Where are you from, Mr. Rennie?
Philadelphia.
What do you do?
I make book. Horses, mostly.
Uh-huh. That makes you think I could put you in touch with Bert Mindley.
I'm just taking a chance on it. You mentioned your name lots of times. He used to kid me. He'd say when he was in Chicago, he made his bets with a guy that could handle anything, meaning you.
Uh-huh. What do you want with him?
He owes me money. A lot of money. He walked out on me.
Bert?
Yeah. I didn't believe it, just like you don't. 2 months ago, I'd have said if there's one guy you can count on...
He never welched on me.
There's always a first time. So you don't know how I could reach him?
No, I don't. I haven't seen him since the Belmont Stakes.
Okay, thanks anyway. Sorry I bothered you.
No, that's all right.
Say, I don't know you, and you can turn me down if you want. But there's one thing you and I can't take in this business, and that's a guy that walks out. Would you let me know if you're here for Mindley?
I might.
Okay. I'm staying at the Lake West Hotel.
For how long?
Till I find him.
He must have left you holding a pretty big bag.
Yeah, he did.
Okay, I'll call you if I hear from him. You can count on it.
And as we set up various plans for locating Minley, Eddie Downer, the driver of the getaway car, was being urged to make some plans of his own.
So you just walk in and tell everybody to start reaching.
May, for the love of Mike, shut up, will you?
You gotta work out a routine, don't you? You don't know what you're gonna do once you get inside a bank.
Look, I know what to do, May. Let's go to a picture or something, huh? I'm tired of talking.
Eddie?
Yeah?
You want to do a job on your own, don't you?
Of course I want.
Well, don't yell at me.
Well, you keep hopping and hopping.
You're telling yourself that Bert always had a routine. He figured everything out before he started.
All right, I'll figure it too. What's all the rush?
How much have you got left out of that $2,500?
Enough.
Yeah?
Look, May.
Maybe it's enough for you, Eddie. It's not enough for both of us.
All right, what do you want?
Is the truck ready now? Did you get that front end fixed?
Yeah, it's all right.
I want to take a drive this afternoon.
Where?
Oh, Fairmont, Watertown, places like that.
For what?
What do you think? They're small towns, they got banks. We're going to pick out a bank. Fairmont Savings Bank. What's the matter with that, Eddie?
That looks all right, I guess.
You want me to go inside with you?
No, no, you wait here. Put a couple of pennies in the parking meter.
Okay.
Yes, sir?
Oh, good afternoon. Could you change this 20 for me?
Yes, of course.
Well, thanks. I want to make a long-distance call over at the drugstore, and I don't dare ask them to bust it.
That's quite all right. Here you are, sir.
Well, thanks a lot.
Not at all.
Well?
Looks pretty easy, May.
I told you, didn't I?
One teller is an old guy about 60. The other's a woman. They only got about 8 people in the place and no guard.
Sure, it'll be a cinch. What do you need Bert Minley for with a setup like that?
Yeah. You know, maybe he's been playing me for a sucker all his time.
That's what I've been telling you.
One old teller and one female. I'll be in and out of that place in 5 minutes.
Sure you will.
And look at this street. No traffic problem. Nice, convenient parking meters. You can't miss.
Hey, where you going? It's that way back.
Yeah, I know. I just want to see what's up this road. Looks like a good place for you to meet me.
Me?
Yeah, you meet me with a truck, see? I'll take a car off the street for the job, come out here, and then we'll just drive off. Electrician going to Chicago for parts. This girl came along for the ride. You like that?
It's perfect, Eddie.
Now I gotta have just 2 more props.
What?
A pair of dark glasses and a sawed-off shotgun.
That's what he uses. Bert.
That's right. And if he gets caught someday, maybe they'll blame my job on him.
You know, Eddie, sometimes you're smarter than you look.
I get by.
When are you gonna pull us?
Well, I don't know. What Bert does, he finds out when they're going to have a lot of cash on hand, like a payroll or something, usually on a Friday.
What are you stopping for?
Well, nothing. I guess I just want to rest for a minute.
Rest?
Yeah, it's a funny thing. When I came out of the bank, I felt tired all of a sudden.
For what?
Well, I don't know. You want a cigarette?
No. What do you mean, tired?
Like I've been running a long ways or something.
You're out of your mind.
Yeah, I guess so. But when that teller was giving me the change, I was thinking how he'd look with a gun in his face, you know? And that female in the next cage. I was thinking, if she let out one yell, It's funny how tired I am all of a sudden. It's like the stick-up was over or something.
Yeah?
Yeah. Hey, look at me. I'm sweating even. Gee, that's something, isn't it?
Yeah, it is. Let's drive back into town, Eddie. I don't want to get out here.
Back to Trigger Finger in just a moment. Friends, Wrigley Spearmint Chewing Gum is made to give you real chewing enjoyment. It tastes mighty good, and it's smooth and satisfying to chew on. At the same time, chewing delicious Wrigley's Spearmint Gum is an aid to your popularity. Here's why. The lively flavor of Wrigley's Spearmint sweetens your breath, and the chewing action helps to keep your teeth clean, bright, and good-looking. So, treat yourself to Wrigley's Spearmint Gum and enjoy it daily, as millions do. Get a few packages next time you're at the store. That's Wrigley's Spearmint Chewing Gum. Healthful, refreshing, delicious. And now, Act Three of tonight's story, Trigger Finger.
Several weeks after Agent Reynolds had visited Sam Gleason, the Chicago bookmaker, Gleason phoned, saying that Bert Minley had come in to place a bet. Agents of our bureau hurried to Gleason's gambling rooms and arrested Bert Minley. Later in the day, Minley was questioned at our downtown field office.
Now look, what are you wasting your time for? I told you I was right here in Chicago on July 6th. I can prove it.
I suppose you were staying at the South Side Hotel.
Supposing I was.
Anybody with $10 can buy a registration card at that joint. Try something better, Minley.
I'll leave that to my lawyer.
Anybody work with you on this job?
Yeah, I got a partner. Goes around giving bank tellers the hot foot.
You know, you're not making it any easier for yourself.
What do you want? I answer your questions, and when you don't like the answer, you get tough.
Minley, 6 witnesses have identified you on 2 jobs. We're going to book you for the Wingville and Bridgetown robberies.
Go ahead, book. You got to make a sucker out of somebody, so it's easier to pin it on a guy with a record, huh?
Where'd you get the $500 you were going to bet at Gleason's this morning?
Out of another horse room. I told you, I make a living playing horses. What's the matter with that?
Hello, Steve.
Hello, Dave. How are you making out here?
It's playing hard to get.
Well, that figures. You'll be singing another tune in a little while, Minley. We just visited your rooming house over on 12th Street.
Well, you found it, huh?
Sure. That laundry ticket he was carrying, they had a home address. We found a couple of real interesting items in your room, Minley. This shotgun belonged to you?
No.
These dark glasses belong to you?
No, a friend of mine left them there.
Uh-huh. Maybe this friend held up the Wingville Bank, too.
Maybe he did.
Did he also leave $6,000 in cash in your bureau drawer and a bank deposit book for 15 more?
Answer him, Minley.
I refuse to talk till I see my lawyer.
Well, now we're getting someplace.
Put these glasses on, Minley. Let's see how they fit.
Go ahead, put them on. Say, they fit real well, don't they, Steve?
Yeah, they do.
In fact, a lot of things fit in this case, Minley. Now, why don't you be sensible and start talking?
On the morning after our questioning of Bert Minley, his getaway driver, Eddie Downer, was preparing to hold up the Fairmont Savings Bank. Following Minley's technique, Downer drove a stolen car to the door of the bank. Several miles out of town, Downer's girl, Mae Fraser, was waiting in the truck. At 9 a.m., when the doors opened, Downer walked into the bank wearing dark glasses and carrying a sawed-off shotgun.
All right, lady, this is a stick-up. Put all that cash in this bag and hurry up. The rest of you people lie down on the floor there. Now, you, mister, you help the lady with the cash. Come on, Mac, get a move on. You clumsy idiot, I should help and don't throw it on the floor.
I'm sorry, I couldn't.
Shut up, put the money in the bag and stop talking. Who did that? You little fool, you did it. Move over, I'll drop it.
What's the matter?
Shut up, let me get out of here.
Eddie, what happened?
The old guy gave me back talk. I had to let him have it.
Eddie!
He turned on the alarm right when I was standing there. He kicked down the alarm. Is this the right way?
No, we were going to take number 6 back that way.
Why didn't you tell me? Do I have to think of everything myself?
Calm down, you're going to attract attention.
Why don't you mind your own business? I got to do everything myself.
Eddie, did he owe me anything?
I don't know. I don't remember pulling the trigger. It just went off, that's all.
Where's the money?
Money? What money? I was lucky to get out of there alive.
Oh, Eddie, you loused it up, didn't you?
What do you mean, loused it up? Did we figure the old man would turn on the alarm, did we?
You better drive
slow. Well, did we? If the old guy kept his mouth shut...
You're doing 55.
Well, so we'll do 70. We gotta get out of here, don't we?
Eddie, slow down, please, Eddie.
All right. Just shut up. What did that sign say? Where are we heading?
What sign?
The sign back there. What good are you sitting there? Can't you even read a sign?
Eddie...
When we come to a town, let me out, will you?
What?
Let me out. I don't want to go with you.
Oh, you don't, huh? Just because I didn't get the dough. Just because they're turning the alarm on me.
Oh, Eddie.
Looks like state troopers.
Oh, stop. You gotta drive through. I can't, May. Eddie, you got to. It's our only chance. Remember what we said. You're an electrician. You drive into Chicago. Eddie, what are you doing?
Turn around.
No, don't. They'll just think that... Eddie, they're coming. They're coming this way.
They're not gonna get me, May. They're not gonna get me.
With the capture of Eddie Downer and his subsequent confession, both Minley and Downer were booked for the bank robberies, and a charge of assault with intent to kill was made against Downer when his nervously aimed shotgun only wounded the bank teller. Both men were convicted on all counts. Minley sentenced to 20 years, Downer to 30. May Fraser, as a first offender, received a term of 3 years for her part in the Fairmont robbery attempt. Our books are closed on the trigger finger.
Friends, when you want a tasty treat that satisfies you without being rich or filling, chew a stick of Wrigley's Spearmint Gum. There's lots of delicious, long-lasting flavor in a stick of Wrigley's Spearmint Gum. Real taste enjoyment. And besides, you get enjoyment from the pleasant chewing. It gives you a nice little lift and helps tide you over till mealtime. Helps keep your mouth moist, your taste fresh, too. So, do what millions do. Keep Wrigley's Spearmint Chewing Gum handy and enjoy it every day. It tastes so good, lasts so long, and gives you real chewing enjoyment. In tonight's story, Bob Reddick played the part of Eddie Downer, and Sherita Bauer was Mae Fraser. This radio dramatization for the FBI in Peace and War was written by Louis Pelletier. These programs are produced and directed by Betty Mandeville. All names and characters used on the program are fictitious. Any similarity to persons living or dead is purely coincidental. This program is based on Frederick L. Collins' copyrighted book, The FBI in Peace and War. And the broadcast does not imply endorsement, authorization, or approval by the Federal Bureau of Investigation. The makers of Wrigley's Spearmint Gum, the refreshing, delicious treat that gives you real chewing enjoyment, invite you to listen to next Wednesday's story, The Good Boy, on the FBI in Peace and War. Same time, same station.
This is the CBS Radio Network.
Oil burner shutdowns are no fun for anyone, especially on a wild winter night. But there's something you can do about clogged filter screens, a major cause of oil burner service calls. The answer is in Shell furnace oil, which contains a special ingredient, FOA-5X, that prevents clogged filter screens. Shell furnace oil with FOA-5X was tested in thousands of homes over a 3-year period. The results of these tests: not one case of burner shutdown due to a clogged filter screen was reported. Shell furnace oil with FOA-5X actually cleans as it heats, helps keep service calls down to the minimum. Order your supply of Shell furnace oil tomorrow. Call Shell Oil Company at Wabash 29080. You'll get fast, courteous service always. Remember, call Shell Oil Company at Wabash 29080 for Shell furnace oil containing FOA-5X.
That's our thriller for this week. I'll be back next Friday with a story from The Man Called X. In between now and then, you can find more from this series you heard today, past episodes of Relic Radio Thrillers, and all the other shows at relicradio.com. We have a Shoutcast stream there available as well, which is back up and running again. And you can donate through the website if you'd like to help pay for that Shoutcast stream, all the podcasts, and everything else Relic Radio. My thanks, as always, to those who have, and thanks for joining me today. Talk to you again next week with another episode of Relic Radio Thrillers.